When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, it's your boy Caleb. We're here to break down another NBA slate as well as talk about what went down this weekend. Didn't record yesterday. We did record for the Saturday slate. We didn't record for today's slate. Just one day off, but we're back at it and ready to get after it with another week. And we got a lot to talk about since we haven't talked in a day. So I'm going to focus a little bit more on what went down today rather than what went down Saturday. But I'm sure we'll touch on every single series at some point in this pod. As usual, I appreciate you guys tuning in, and I hope you all are doing well. Fun weekend of hoops, man. Fun weekend of hoops. We'll start with what went down today, and we'll get right into it. First game of the day. We actually bet today. I went to half units just to kind of find a rhythm, and we went 3-2 today. Still feels like we left a little bit on the board. But regardless, at this point, bro, you go 3-2 with the way things have gone. I'm not tripping. But start of the day with Knicks Sixers, and this was a banger. Man, this was a banger. All three games have been close enough, right? Like sometimes teams have pulled away, but they've all been competitive games that were not decided heading into the fourth quarter. And we had another one of those today. We were on the Knicks plus the 5, as well as Joel Embiid over 5.5 assists. Just given, I liked it. Just given, you know, coming off 50, no Mitchell Robinson. So to me, felt like there was gonna be less one-on-ones. More doubles, more traps, and he got there with 6. He had 4 in the first quarter, slowed down a little bit in the second half, but got there at plus 118, which was nice. And then Knicks plus 5 obviously cashed as well. Wish we had sprinkled a bit on the money line, but huge, man. And I think the one saving grace of this first round so far is at least we're sitting there with 2 full fatty units on the Knicks series minus 115. So they're one game away. And the story of this game really was Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson. It is really, really hard, and I know you guys know, but like, it's so, so hard to dominate a playoff game as a guard that's 6-1. And on top of that, a 6-1 guard with, you know, like not really an athletic point guard, right? So you physically, he's just outmatched. And so he just has to be really, really advanced in terms of his footwork, in terms of his skill, in terms of his touch. And he put on an absolute clinic in the mid-range in terms of just getting to his spots, using pivots, using his footwork. And we've seen it in the regular season, right? But just to do it on the stage and what he did, and really to the extent that which he did, right? It's not like he went and got 32. Like the dude went for almost 50. So it was really, really dope to see. And it's like, again, when you look at both these teams, it's Philly's down 3-1. It's not like they're playing bad. Like they have been outplayed in crunch time in this series for sure. And I'm not even saying that like they deserve to be up or anything. I'm just saying like it's not that they're playing bad, right? Like the Knicks are just a really legit, complete top to bottom basketball team, and they're really, really fun. And you just see everyone's got a specific role. Everyone's got a specific role. Everyone knows their job. And it was dope to see a night like tonight too, where Hartenstein, pretty clean first half, picks up 5 fouls in the third quarter. Precious comes in for him. Precious leaves a lot to be desired as a finisher. on the offensive side of the ball, but on the glass and defensively, he was huge in helping them close out this game to the point where, you know, Hartenstein didn't even come back in. They just rolled with Precious. So that was cool to see. And you just see, like, Josh Hart didn't score the way he has, still 15 rebounds. Dante didn't shoot it all that well, but hit some big threes when it mattered most. Miles McBride has been just unbelievable for them from an on-ball defensive point of attack type of standpoint, but as well as just hitting and making really tough shots, catch and shoot shots. It's been an incredible development because I did not think of Miles McBride as anything close to a knockdown shooter for a while, and he's becoming and turning into that, and because that's what his role is needed to be. So I wouldn't say the Sixers are out of it. Crazier things have happened, but I'd be pretty surprised if Philly reeled off three straight, especially with two of those being in New York. I'm hoping the Knicks don't play around and get it done in New York, but it's going to be a dogfight. And Joel Embiid is still really, really good. He had a great first half, kind of tapered off in the second half / fourth quarter. But when you have Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, you're going to be in every game. I'd expect – I mean, the line's out. It's sitting around 4.5. That's tough. That's tough. You could see it going both ways. Again, these lines are tight. These lines are sharp. And sometimes it really just comes down to one little thing. But the Sixers aren't out of it by any means. And it was a great way to get the day started. And honestly, just MSG's atmosphere is great. But Philly was going today, too. And a lot of Knicks fans were there. It just was great energy to start the day. Yeah. We then moved on to the Clippers and the Mavs, and Kawhi was ruled out about an hour before the game. Not like shocking, but a little bit surprising given that Ty Lue said after game three that they expected Kawhi. But again, you just never know. And with Kawhi and his knee, it's not like this is like, you know, the first time it's come up. So they're always going to play it a little bit more careful. And I think they ended up being the ones to rule him out. And then immediately from there, I was like, I like the Clippers, right? We saw them in game one without Kawhi. And what it does, and we've talked about this at length, and this is an important topic, you know, now, but, you know, I do this all year, right? So going into next year, it's one of, I think, one of the more important rules and something that is just a misconception for new NBA bettors is that when a star comes back in, or really rather, it goes both ways, right? But when a star comes back in, that team is generally overvalued. And when a star is out, that team is generally undervalued. And you saw it again today because what it does is it really locks James Harden and Paul George into scoring, into knowing that they are going to have the ball in their hands. They're going to be allowed to be, not that they're not allowed to, you know, be aggressive with Kawhi, but they are going to have to be as aggressive as can be coming into the game. And that's their mindset coming into the game. And you saw it. Both guys went off. Clips go up really, really early and jump on the Mavs. They're up 30 in the first half. But you never felt, at least for me, never felt like it was over. By the way, I was on Clips plus 7 once the news happened. I don't know if I mentioned that. It never felt to me like it was over. And then obviously the Mavs come roaring all the way back. But I think it was this win was more impressive because – like, it'd be one thing if the Clips got out to that 30-point lead. Maybe the Mavs get it within 10 or 15, but it never really gets dangerous, and the Clips win. To me, this was more impressive because the Mavs brought it all the way back. I don't know if they ever – they might have officially had the lead by, like, 1-2 max late, but they brought it back, and it required big nut shots from both PG and James Harden. James Harden more, you know, floaters in the mid-range, PG with a big corner three. Fading right with a defender draped all over him. But this is what the Clips do. This is what Ty Lue does. He's a much better coach than Jason Kidd. We've seen many, I mean, because this is not new with Kawhi going down. We've seen this many, many times. We saw it with Phoenix, right? A couple years ago too, and they did ultimately lose that series, but it was close. Where, yeah, they're shorthanded. But if you have Paul George and James Harden, role players that are locked in and a good defense, you're going to be competitive in most series. And so you're seeing it's not over. It's 2-2 now. Huge win on the road without Kawhi. And again, not a coincidence. This is nothing against Kawhi. Kawhi is an amazing, amazing basketball player, top five player. When healthy, he's not healthy. And so you see this Clips team right now playing better without him. I doubt, just given the way these games have gone, right? Two games without Kawhi, one, and really we're up big in both those games at different stages. Two games with Kawhi, I've lost, and really, game three was close enough, but, you know, or game two was close enough, but game three wasn't really close. So very, very interesting to see how they manage him. See, maybe, like, can we pull this out without Kawhi? Like, again, even if he's ready-ish, quote, ready game seven, I don't know if you bring him back. Just we'll see. We'll see. It's just not as easy as this is not a video game, right, where he's just in there and he is who he is automatically. And he could be, right? He's a robot. Could be, but it's not always that easy. So picked up, I guess, you know, there are half units, so 1.5 units on those three games or those two games. Headed to Milwaukee, Indiana. Picked Milwaukee up plus 10 again for a similar reason to the Clippers, where I felt like we were getting a little bit of a discount given no Dame. And obviously this Bucks team is worse without Dame than they are with him. They're obviously better with him, but 10 is a lot in a maybe not a must win, but close to a must win game for Milwaukee. Still have Chris Middleton in a great rhythm. And then Bobby Portis just gets ejected in the first quarter. And they still battled. They did, honestly, the Bucks did everything they could, and they still lost by 13. But it wasn't because they played poorly. I mean, you could point to a lack of point of attack defense, sure, but like you're playing a lot of guys out there that's not their strength, and they're doing their best, but it's just not their strength. And they got great performances from from Brook Lopez, from Chris Middleton, from Andre Jackson, given, you know, his stature. Malik wasn't bad, at least as bad as he's been. And they did everything they could, but, you know, to the point where it was a three-point game at half, got it down to five in the fourth. And I actually tried to hedge out on Pacers minus 9.5 because, remember, like, I bet Bucks plus 10 with the idea that Bobby Portis is playing. And he's huge as that third guy. Because even Brooke, like Brooke had it going, right? But Brooke's not like a guy right now where it's just like, all right, post him up, instant offense. Like he can get you a bucket here and there, but it's not like consistent, right? So you really got to move the ball. And it's just hard in the playoffs to score. So, but honestly, they scored plenty of points. They just couldn't get stopped. So tough. Once Bobby went out, my expectations of a cover weren't great. And again, I tried to grab 9.5 second half, and it wasn't going through, even though it was available, but it wasn't going through. So I was like, fuck it. All right, let's just ride with the plus 10. Didn't get there. And then I also lived Chris Middleton over 5.5 assists, just because once Bobby went out, I felt like, all right, Chris has got to play. As long as he's not gas, he's got to play. And he did. He honestly played all the minutes I could ask for. We just got hooked at five. Had picked up his fifth assist in the third. Just couldn't knock down shots in the fourth off of his passes. Pat had a so tough. It's like 6 minutes left. Pacers up eight. Chris swings to the corner. Pat Connaughton, wide open three. Cut it to five. Cash his assist. Brick. And that was that. Pacers just made a ridiculous amount of shots. Like I do think. With Bobby, I would have ran that at 10. And honestly, even without Bobby, it was looking fine for a while. It was just Miles Turner hit every shot. Neesmith hit a bunch of shots. Obi was great. Tyrese hit threes tonight. And that was that. That was that. And now Bucks sitting down 3-1. Giannis is not still, like, regardless, even if he's feeling better, there's no way. Like, if he hasn't played yet, right? Like, Kawhi at least tried to go game two. He's at the point where he could suit up and go. If Giannis hasn't suited up yet, there's no point being down 3-1 to suit him up. Obviously, the KD thing comes to mind where Warriors down 3-1, KD suits up, balling, hooping, tears his Achilles. And obviously, I'm not saying that is for sure what's going to happen, but you know, you got to keep the bigger picture in mind. That is your franchise player, an NBA megastar. You're down 3-1. I think this thing's over, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's over even in Milwaukee. I'm sure Milwaukee's going to fight, but. You look at the team that they have, and Bobby being back will help. Bobby being back will definitely help, but they're just outmanned. They're outmanned from a talent perspective, for sure. on offense, and then honestly defensively today was a huge, you just saw they just can't defend, right? You're sticking Malik out there because you need some shooting. You're sticking AJ Green out there because you need some shooting. Jay Crowder has faded and is a complete non-factor now in this league. Playing Andre Jackson, who plays really, really hard, has some athleticism, but honestly shot it pretty well today, but like the decision-making is not fully there yet, defensively and offensively. So tough year for the Bucks. I'm sure they'll be back in the mix next year. And it's not over, but probably will be pretty soon. Last game of the day was the Suns and T-Wolves. And we were looking to see if the Suns could do what the Lakers did, right? Like, I was really, really impressed. We didn't even talk about it, but, I completely thought that I would have taken the Nuggets minus three in game four, up 3-0 in L.A. And the Lakers just showed some heart, got it done. And it wasn't a blowout, but they were the better team throughout that game. The Suns had an opportunity to do the same thing tonight. And I almost hit him early, right? Like first half, first quarter, but I was like, I already went 3-2, like just take my baby profit. And I'm glad, I mean, I guess first half would have cashed, but the Suns came out and did their thing. But like the Wolves just always felt inevitable, like kind of like the Nuggets have felt, except with the Wolves, it's been even more so. Because I mean, and you saw it tonight, right? KD and Book have great games. Book gets to the line like 20 times. Book goes for 40. KD goes for 30. And the Wolves still get it done. And I think the biggest thing is, one, there's three main things for me, right? Is one, Rudy Gobert is an absolute anchor. So really anything at the rim just becomes tough. Two, Jaden McDaniels is an unbelievable defender. And Ant, honestly, is right there too. But Jaden is an unbelievable defender. And three, the ascension of Anthony Edwards. And I watch the NBA all the time, right? This is not like shocking to me in that like you, but in a sense, like there's levels, right? There's levels to stardom, and being really, really good in the NBA regular season doesn't necessarily always translate to the NBA playoffs. And there's being good in the NBA playoffs. And then there's being like a number one guy who's literally leading his team two W's, and that is what Anthony Edwards has been. And it doesn't mean it's just scoring, right? Like it's scoring, it's defense, it's having pace and vision, and getting the ball out to where it needs to be when you're trapped or C2, and it's making reads, and he's doing everything at an extremely extremely elite level right now. So I think that's something to keep an eye on just in series moving forward, right? Because there is no one else on this Wolves. I mean, Cat maybe at times when he really has it going, but like Cat's not necessarily a creator. He's a scorer. And a lot of times when he gets hot, he's just railing 35 footers. You're not coming out to 35 feet for him. And 35 might be in a bit of an exaggeration, right? But when Cat is cooking, it's generally he's railing deep threes. Now guys are up and he's okay. You're up on me. I'm going to blow by you at that point, right? But Ant's the only guy that is an initiator, is a creator, is a guy who's getting downhill, creating, making plays and putting pressure on the rim, pressure on the defense. And so all that to say, his playmaking has looked really, really good. I think that's the thing that has impressed me most about Ant is, I mean, the scoring is very, very impressive, right? At all three levels, just a bowling ball getting to the lane and then has the footwork and touch to get to the mid-range stuff when he's cut off. And is not just always putting his head down, right? But I think the playmaking has been really, really impressive. And because of the nature of how good he is getting downhill, I think you're going to see two in these series moving forward where they put two on him and his playmaking has been great. So I think assists might be a way to look. He had five in game three, but he had six plus in every other game. Tonight, 5.5 was plus 118. Again, kind of similar to Joel. I thought about it. And I think that's a look moving forward in these playoffs is just Anthony Edwards assists. If you're getting plus money at 5.5 or shit, even obviously juiced at 4.5, could be an interesting look. And I really, to finish this off, I can't remember the last time. This is the most impressive like series win I can remember in a while, right? Like came in as plus 115 dogs. I picked against them. I don't even feel like I got to go deep into that because we talked about it a million times, but obviously wrong, obviously very wrong, and nothing but respect for that Timberwolves team, because they beat the shit out of a Suns team who, yes, they're flawed. Yes, they're not deep, but they have three, and we could talk about Bradley Beal another day. I've talked about him at length. Can't pay him that type of money. Just not that level of player. Good basketball player for sure. Not elite, at least in my eyes. He can be an elite scorer in certain situations. Not a guy you're paying 50 plus mil to, in my eyes. But original point, they made the Suns look bad. And obviously the Timberwolves proved themselves to be a much better team, but like that was not common knowledge at the start of the series. So you just got to give respect. At least I'm giving respect. That was a hell of a performance, top to bottom, from Ant all the way down in Finchie. Prayers up for Finchie. Got railed by Mike Conley because book fouled him. Did not look good. Knee's probably done, but Finchie's a grinder. I'm sure he'll be good to go, whether it's in a chair or not. Good thing he's probably getting a little bit of rest. Even if Denver takes care of business tomorrow, probably not getting started till next weekend, Friday at the earliest. So maybe Thursday. I don't know.
Hey, pet parents. Are you searching for the perfect place for your dog to play? Check out Camp Bow Wow. Our safe and supervised doggy daycare and boarding ensures your pup gets the socialization they crave while giving you peace of mind. With our certified staff and clean and spacious facilities, your dog will have a blast making friends and staying active. Join the Camp Bow Wow Pack today. Your first day is free. Visit us at campbowwow.com. Franchise opportunities available.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart.
Ejercicios, cocinamos.
Todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalle.
Some time, and regardless, he doesn't have to go hoop out there. But shit, dude, if he needs ACL surgery, that does honestly makes it tougher to prepare for games. So we'll see how that goes down. Let's get to tomorrow's slate. We got 3 games. I really enjoyed the 4 games that we had today. Like I really enjoyed each of them in their own way. Tomorrow, for whatever reason, I don't love the slate. Don't love the matchups. But obviously we'll still talk through it. We'll get to the first game of the day, the Celtics and the Heat. Celtics 10.5-point favorites coming in after a game 3, pretty much a blowout. And Saturday I had a busy day, man. I had a work event for the girl in the morning and turned into brunch and came home from that just tired and drunk and fell asleep for really the majority. Like I had this game on, I was watching the first quarter and I just knocked out. Woke up, the game was over. So like, I didn't get to really watch most of game 3, but I lean the Heat, and I'll tell you why. I just think, look, I think if you were to ask most people, the Heat have the least amount of talent remaining in the playoffs, just pure talent, right? And that might be different with Jimmy Butler in the mix. That probably is different with Jimmy Butler in the mix, but he's not in the mix right now. You go through every playoff team, the Bucks at this point without Dame, okay, I'll give you that. But even that, like, right? Like, so there's that. But what they do have is the best coach in the league. And I think that is kind of that's undoubtedly true to me right now, in terms of you've seen in so many playoffs, in so many series, the Heat kind of outperform their level of talent. And Kevin Love talked about it again. This, you know, take this as you will. But Kevin Love talked about it. We have a much better game plan going into game three or game four than we did in game three. And 10 is just a ton of points. 10.5 is a ton of points. If you're really breaking this down, this is essentially you're saying there's a 13.5 point difference between these two teams, which in the regular season, maybe I understand because it's a regular season game and the Heat aren't going to lock in the way they are for this game. But in a playoff game, 10.5, a 13.5 point difference, and maybe home court in Miami is not worth 3 points. That's fair. 10.5 is still a massive, massive number. There's a championship level coach. This is championship level culture. Are they anywhere near the talent level of the Celtics? No. But I think on top of that, this is a Celtics team that you've seen many, many times, not just this year, but in the past. Because they were so good in the regular season, and the regular season is completely different from the playoffs, you're getting them at these just ridiculous prices. And you're getting them at ridiculous prices that they now have to kind of uphold the standard that they've set in the regular season. But it's just a different ball game. It's just a completely different ball game. And you've literally already seen them at home as a 14.5 point favorite lose outright, not just not cover, but lose outright. And granted, the other two games, they covered huge numbers and blew out the Heat. But if the Heat are going to win this series, they got to win this game. And I'm not saying they're going to win this game, but 10.5 is a massive, massive number. And it's just, you've seen it time and time again, right? Last year, massive underdogs against the Bucks beat them. Underdogs against, I believe, who's their second round matchup last year? Knicks. I want to say Knicks. I think slight underdogs beat them. Even this year, right, where they barely lose in Philly. They were the better team all game. Jimmy Butler's now out with an MCL injury. Get Chicago now without Jimmy. A lot of people picking Chicago, I think myself included. I picked Chicago. Miami gets it done. So to me, this is just a ton of points. And if it loses, it loses. But I can have confidence in this, knowing that I've got the better coach. And that's no slander on Joe Mazzulla. He's just younger, less experienced, and not as good of a coach as Spo. Is a Heat team with a lot of experience in these big games. Is a Heat team with a lot of experience against Boston. And this is a Boston team that in general is a jump shooting team. Right, like obviously they'll expose mismatches and post up JT and KP at times, and they have guys that can put pressure on the rim. But for the most part, this is a jump shooting team that aims to create situations that lead to wide open quality jumpers, and they have quality shooters. But it's still a variance game, and you got a Miami Heat team that's going to do everything they can to break up rhythm and put together a game plan to remain competitive at home in this one. So I like the Heat plus 10.5 here with the coaching advantage in a must-win game at home against a team that they've had to literally beat last year. And obviously this is a better version of the Celtics, absolutely. But it's not like the Celtics are up 3-0. It's not like we literally haven't seen the Heat win as 14.5 point dogs already. I like them 10.5 tomorrow in a must-win game. Also like the under, the pace is super, super slow. He don't necessarily have shot makers. But again, at a total 203, one team has to score 110. And I mean, you could still get there, but it's tough, right? So lean the under, probably not going to get there. But definitely like the Heat plus the 10.5. And I'll do some research, more research in terms of props. But, you know, to me, it's Bam, it's Tyler Hero. Everything kind of runs through them. But they are high numbers, right? 32.5 for Bam, and then Hero 31.5. But if they're going to win this game, one of those two guys is going to have to go crazy in their own different ways, right? Like Bam going crazy is probably like 21, 10, and 8. hero going crazy is a 30 piece with a bunch of helpers. Lean heat. Next game, Thunder and Pelicans. Thunder 5-point favorites in this one. I like the Thunder. I didn't play anything Saturday, but I would have split the games, I think, 2-2. And the Thunder were one of the ones I would have got. I liked them -1 on the road. Now they're bumped up to 5. And obviously there's different ways that this can go, right? We've seen now two teams at home down 3-0. Lakers got it done. Suns didn't. And I'm sure the Pelicans are going to fight, right? Just like the Suns did and just like the Lakers did. Even though the Suns went down, they were in this game. And there were different ways in which it goes down and they win. But ultimately, the better team won. And I think that's what you're going to get tomorrow. You're also getting Mark off. Again, this is not a reason to singular reason to bet it, but this is an added on top cherry on top. Okay, I like that as well. But Mark Daigneault winning Coach of the Year. It'd be nice, right? Then that next game after winning Coach of the Year to win your first playoff series as a head coach. But then again, it's also -5, right? So a 2-point, 3-point, 4-point, 5-point win doesn't get you any money. I still like the Thunder in this one. I think after game, right? Game one was great for the Pelicans. And I was all in on the hype. I was like, all right, this is going to be a good series. And I honestly thought going into this, it'd probably go 6 just because the experience advantage, right? And the Pelicans aren't this like crazy experienced team, but CJ's been there. BI's been there. Nance has been there. There are guys that have, and at least even if they haven't, like even the other guys, like JVal's played in like every play in ever existed. And this was the Thunder's kind of first go around. Yeah, they were in the plans last year, but you know, lost in that last game. And so I thought the experience would be enough to, and this team had been good on the road. So, but I think that game two was really telling, because it was never close. It was never close. And it felt like the Thunder kind of figured out what they were trying to do. They got some of the jitters out of the way. And they kind of figured Daigneault is a really, really good coach. And they figured out what they're trying to do on both ends of the ball. And the Pelicans were stumped. And game three was no different. There might be some extra little motivation. But I think, again, motivation only gets you so far in a 48-minute game, right? You can have good stretches. Both the Suns today and the Bucks today in games that were, quote, motivated in, had good stretches, had multiple good stretches, but it wasn't enough for either of them. In the Bucks case, they still lost by double digits. In the Suns case, right, they lose by 6 or 7 or whatever it is, but it wasn't enough. And I expect this to kind of be the case tomorrow. If anything, you can go money line and parlay it with maybe a baseball thing you like, or even Nuggets, which we'll get to in a second. But I think the Thunder are winning this game tomorrow, and it'll probably be close, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those games where, yeah, Pelicans are there and their Pelicans are up 5 at half or 4 at half. And then the Thunder start slowly walking them down. SGA gets into his rhythm. The defense gets going, and then the Thunder win this by 5 or 6. I think as we'll get into the Lakers Nuggets, I think parlaying that with the Nuggets is a decent look, but the Lakers are sneaky, man. The Lakers are very, very sneaky, and they're a very good team. So that's where I'm at. We'll get into Lakers Nuggets. I will say, again, like the under, Pelicans offense is struggling. And so really, as long as you don't get like this crazy, crazy performance from the Thunder's offense, I think more often than not, this goes under. And then on top of that, SGA is under, has come down. It was at 29.5 for a lot of the series. At 27.5. I don't necessarily like it, but we'll get to the last game of the day, the Lakers and the Nuggets. Denver, 7-point favorites tomorrow after an L. Denver hasn't played their best basketball. I think that's the thing too, that they're up 3-1. Lakers have been up in a lot of this series, and they finally got one. And I think that game four was really, really telling about where the mindset is at, because it's very easy to, again, not necessarily come into the game not caring, but when that first run of adversity hits, folding. And they didn't do that. And they got a big win, and they were the much better team. And now you got Jamal Murray questionable. Now, I would say there's a 90% chance Jamal Murray plays. I would. I think Jamal Murray is playing. Even if he does play, I don't feel comfortable on -7, right? This is an all or nothing game for the Lakers. And I think the Lakers truly believe that they can do this. And I think I get it if you want to call them crazy for it, but at the same time, I would say if you watch, if you just like didn't know any, it's probably a pretty stupid analogy, but if you didn't know anything about basketball, but you watched every single minute of every single game, you would probably come away saying like this Lakers team is right there. They're right there. And they kind of are to an extent, right? I still like we just talked about, right? I still think the Nuggets win this game. I still think Jamal Murray plays, but I can't get there on -7. I can't get there on -7 because of the way the Lakers are playing right now and what they're capable of, right? LeBron James, we know he's not the younger version of LeBron James, but he's still a very, very good basketball player. He's a very smart basketball player, and he's shooting the shit out of it. D'Angelo Russell, you know, can go up and down, and the defense is one thing, but D'Angelo Russell can absolutely shoot the hell out of it. And then we know what Anthony Davis can do at the peak version of Anthony Davis, one on the defensive side of the ball, but even offensively as well. So to me, 7 is tough. I'd lay off. And if anything, I would probably take Lakers +7 if I had to bet this right now. Luckily, I don't have to bet this, and I'm probably not going to get there on Lakers +7 or 7.5 in some spots. But I do think that if I had to bet this, that's absolutely where I would go. D'Angelo Russell, I don't hate his over points at 15.5. They need it. They need him to shoot the ball well. Obviously, he had that terrible, terrible game 3 where he literally did not score in 25 minutes. Was awful. But other than that, 21 points last game, 23 points the game before, and even in game 1, he shot it terribly. 6 of 20, 1 of 9 from 3. But, I mean, he shot it 20 times. So 15.5 where they need his outside scoring, I don't hate that. And he's been great all year. Like, I wouldn't freak out with the noise around him that you get from the Lakers fan. That's a look I like. But that's where I'm at, guys. Is my favorite play of the day for sure is the Heat +10.5. I think that history has shown us that this team is going to come out and do everything they can, and it might not be enough. And that's not a lock for sure, whatever. But I know they're going to play really, really hard, and I know they're going to have a game plan, and I know they're going to be together for this. And this is a Celtics team that has shown some variance and very much shown that they are capable of losing as big favorites in the past and this year. I think the Thunder get it done. If I had to play it, I'd take -5. But I also just don't hate playing it safe and parlaying the money line with something else. And then on top of that, right, when you parlay -185 with something decent, you're probably getting plus odds as well, right? So you can go with that if you have something else you really, really like. Like Lakers or Nuggets Thunder is going to be plus odds, I'm pretty sure. Whereas -5, you're getting -110. And then I lean the Lakers +7, not going to get there. And then I like D'Lo points, 15.5. I know, fucking crazy, but I do. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you. I hope you all had a great, great weekend. We'll be back running through every slate. It kind of sucks because as we get deeper and deeper in the playoffs, there's going to be some one gamers. There will probably be times where it's like, all right, probably can't do this daily anymore, which is sad. It's sad, right? But we'll do our best. And you know, shit, there may be times where there's only one game and we'll just talk a really long time about that game and the games that happened that day. But I love you guys. Appreciate you for tuning in. And but obviously, as usual, best of luck to whatever you end up playing. Hopefully, after going 3-2 today, we're kind of back on track. Hopefully, knock on wood, cross fingers, Knicks get there in the series to give us, you know, a little bit of a little dent into that 7 units that we're down. Let's keep the vibes high, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you, Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.